You are listening to the PubK Cyber Cafe, a bi-weekly podcast of news about the government response to cybersecurity threats and trends, including federal, state, and international laws and regulations, and cyber in the courtroom. Hello, welcome back to the Cyber Cafe. This is Bill Olver, editor of PubK Cyber. Every morning, PubK Cyber captures the latest news and opinion related to government cybersecurity efforts, and every 2 weeks on this podcast, we recap our top headlines. The Department of Defense has issued draft guidance for implementing DFARS clauses on safeguard and covered defense information and NIST 800-171, Protect and Control Unclassified Information in Non-Federal Systems and Organizations. In the guidance, DoD clarified its expectation of what NIST implementation means. It allows that contractors can demonstrate compliance by establishing a system security plan that identifies gaps and a plan of actions and milestones for addressing those gaps. DoD prioritized NIST 800-171 requirements. Is assigned priorities to each requirement on the list, with the vast majority, 91, being assigned to the highest priority rating. DoD also is getting serious about assessing NIST compliance during source selections. Contractors who rely on system security plans and plans of actions and milestones will have to demonstrate progress towards those goals and will not be able to rely permanently on those plans. NERA is revising the National Industrial Security Program Directive. The revision incorporates insider threat policy and minimum standards, identifies DHS and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence as new cognizant security agencies, and adds responsibilities for all CSAs and non-CSA departments and agencies. DHS plans to formalize its bug bounty program. The department currently has an informal process for accepting vulnerability reports, primarily through its Cyber Operations Division, the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center, or US CERT. The Senate has unanimously confirmed Lieutenant General Paul Nakasone as the commander of U.S. Cyber Command and director of NSA. And the Army has tapped Major General Stephen Fogarty to be the next commander of the Army Cyber Command. His promotion was confirmed by the Senate on April 26th. Senators Jim Risch and Gary Peters have introduced the Small Business Advanced Cybersecurity Enhancements Act, which would create cybersecurity assistance units at small business development centers throughout the country. These units are intended to serve as a friendly point of contact for small businesses who suffer a cyber attack, thereby helping them find a solution and prevent more attacks in the future. DoD has ordered vendors on military bases to stop selling smartphones and other devices made by Chinese companies Huawei and ZTE, citing concerns that the companies may enable Chinese espionage through their technology. The order does not ban personnel from buying these products elsewhere, nor does it ban their use. Huawei and ZTE would be permanently banned from federal systems under language in the 2019 Defense Authorization Act drafted by House Armed Services Chair Mac Thornberry. The bill would also bar the military from entering into or renewing contracts with any vendors that work with the firms or use their technologies in their supply chains. A group representing 80 tech firms has asked Congress to intervene in the Pentagon's Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure Cloud contract. This single award contract is potentially worth billions of dollars and is scheduled to be bid out in mid-May, but the controversy over the decision to award the contract to one provider has ramped up in recent months. IBM's motion to dismiss the Army's nearly $6 million claim for overcharges failed with the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals. The Army asserted that IBM failed to provide adequate cybersecurity protections as required by its task order, and that IBM provided and billed for employees who were not qualified for the work. The Army based its claim on a breach of systems IBM had been hired to protect. IBM tried to convince the board that the Army's claim was time-barred because it accrued when the breach occurred more than 6 years prior. However, the Army argued its claim accrued after it completed its investigation, which suggested that IBM's failure to perform certain cybersecurity tasks had contributed to the breach. The board held that more discovery was necessary to determine when the Army's claim accrued. The Department of Energy will investigate National Technology and Engineering Solutions of Sandia, LLC, the managing and operating contract for the Sandia National Laboratories, in relation to a potential noncompliance with DOE Classified Information Security Program requirements. The 2017 incident relates to access controls for areas protecting classified information. On May 1, Alabama became the final state in the U.S. to enact a data breach notification law. The law applies to covered entities and their third-party agents, generally defined as anyone who acquires or uses sensitive personally identifying information and those contracted to handle that data. Notification is not required if the breach is not reasonably likely to cause substantial harm. Otherwise, it is required within 45 days of that determination, with the Attorney General notified if it affects more than 1,000 Alabama residents. And finally, the Massachusetts Senate amended the state's notification law to strengthen consumer protections after breaches involving consumer credit reporting agencies. The bill aims to help consumers protect their sensitive information before, during, and after a data breach. And that's the news for this week. For further reading on today's topics, you can find links to our blog posts and original sources on the PubCase Cyber page where you listen to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed the presentation. Join us again in 2 weeks for another recap of cybersecurity legal news in the Cyber Cafe.